And we last met David HaMelech. David, who's not yet Melech, realized that he had no choice but to take to the hills, to flee Shaul. He confirms the covenant with Yehonasan, and then marches into and unwittingly precipitates one of the most horrific acts in Jewish history, certainly in all of Tanakh, an indelible stain on Klal Yisrael, on Shaul, the massacre of Nov, Ir HaKohanim, Nov, the city of Kohanim, Nov, the city where the Mishkan was after Shiloh was destroyed. It's a story in which no one comes out clean. Everyone is marred. Yehonasan, Shaul, David, and especially a figure we'll encounter tonight, Doeg HaDomi, a Doeg who really was the mastermind and represents a certain vicious typology in Tanakh and in the words of Chazal that we'll spend some time reflecting on who he was and what his legacy is. Question is, of course, how did such an event happen and what can we learn from it? So let's look first at number one. We start today in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph. Vayokom Vayelach. So David arose and left Yehonasan's presence. Yehonasan Boir. Yehonasan went back to the city. And again, Yehonasan now is estranged from his father. David even worse. Shaul wants to kill him. And David realizes there's no escape. And even more than that, David does not have a natural support system. He has no place of refuge. He has no entourage, no army, no provisions for that matter. Vayovo David Nove. David goes to the city of Nov, again where the Mishkan was. El Achimelech HaKohen. Achimelech was the Kohen Gadol. And Nov was a city of all Kohanim, because that's where the Mishkan was, that's where people came, even though it was permissible at that time to bring karbanos, individual karbanos, at one's private altar. Nevertheless, the daily karbanos and the special Yom Tov karbanos were all brought in Nov. So Achimelech sees him, v'yecherad Achimelech l'kras David. Achimelech hurries to greet David, v'yecherad. Of course, charadah means he trembled. He's afraid to see David, because it was unusual to Achimelech that such a personality like David HaMelech, the great warrior, the son-in-law of the king, would be traveling alone, and even more so that he's coming on Shabbos to Nov, which was surprising. Vayomer lo, he says to David, Madu ato levadecho, vish ein itoch, why are you traveling alone? Vayomer David l'Achimelech HaKohen. So David said to Achimelech, and David again, like we find amongst great people in Tanakh, even when they can't tell the entire truth, they don't want to lie outright. And their words are equivocal. So they're not outright falsehoods, but if you have a little more information, you'll know how to understand it. The same thing I discussed this morning about Yaakov Avinu. So David says, HaMelech Tzivani Davar, the king has ordered me on a mission. Vayomer Eli, he said to me, Ish al yeida me'umas ha-davar asher nechisho lechacho. No one should know anything about this mission. Vasher tzivisicho, what I've commanded you. Ves han'arim yodati el makom ploni almoni. So I inform my attendants, you shouldn't think I'm traveling alone, I've informed them that you should meet me at a certain place. Now David comes to the reason, his request, the reason why he came to know of altogether. Give me, if you can, what do you have available? Five loaves of bread, maybe? Or whatever it is to eat. Now, we recall already that David HaMelech had met Yehonasan in the field. And you recall, after for Machar Chodesh, that they worked out a plan that David should hide there for several days, and Yonasan would then come and tell him whether it's safe to return or he should flee. So in fact, Yonasan told him that he had to flee, but during that time, David had no food. because their plan was very suddenly devised. So at this point, he's ravished. And he comes to Nov, essentially looking for food. Vayana Kohenes David Vayomer. So the Kohen Gadol says to David, Ein lechem chol el tachas yadi. I have no profane bread, meaning I can't give you a corned beef sandwich. All I have is lechem kodesh, all I have is truma. And David's not a Kohen, so he can't eat it. So he says, Im nishmur hanarim ach meisho. Have the lads with you not been with women? So it's Lashon Saginor. He asked David, have you been with a woman? Which would make you Tomei, can't eat it. So the Radak actually quoted his father saying that he was offering David Lechem Todah, the bread of the Korban Todah, the Thanksgiving offering, which is accessible to non-Kohanim. But most of the Mefarshim say, no, David, he said, all we have is Lechem Kodesh, which is Truma. So how then could David eat Truma if he's not a Kohen? So you see, it's Pikuach Nefesh. He had no choice. He was, Chazal say, literally on the brink of death, famished. So David says to the Kohen that in fact he had not been with a woman, and therefore he has no compunctions about eating this Truma, the Lechem Kodesh. So Pasuk Zayin, Vayiten lo HaKohen Kodesh. Achimelech gave him this bread. The bread was the lechem aponim, the lechem aponim, the show bread that was put in the shulchan, in the mishkan, the base of mikdash. It was changed every Shabbos, 12 loaves. So that he gave several loaves to David. And Chazal tell us, one of the nisim that always existed in the mishkan, the base of mikdash, was that the loaves taken out, even after 7 days, were still piping hot and fresh and soft. So he gave this to David, and that's what David ate, the lechem aponim. Now, the Meshiloach says that there's a deeper significance here, that David really was worthy of eating Lechem Apadim, which ordinarily would only go to Kohanim, because in fact, he was the Bona HaMikdash. He was the one who set in motion the processes by which the Beis HaMikdash would be constructed. Whatever the significance is, the literal pshat is the most important. That David had nothing to eat. David is literally a fugitive, destitute, without any means of protection. So he goes to a city where he knows he'll find some support because he'd been there before. They knew who he was as the agent and son-in-law of the king. So he goes there with the most simple and pure motives. But now it turns to disaster. Visham ish me'avdei Shaul bayomahu netzo lifnei Hashem. There was a man, one of the servants of Shaul HaMelech, who lingered before Hashem, lingered in the Mishkan. Ushmo Doeg HaAdomi. His name was Doeg from Edom. So the simple pshat is that he lived on the other side of the Jordan, near the territory of Edom. So that was his name. Like so many of us are referred to as teenagers. So he lived near a dome. Jumps. What's that?
Jumps.
Right. Abir Haroim Asher Lishol. That's good. Przansk, the Przan, name of a town. Abir Haroim Asher Lishol. He was the chief of the shepherds of Shol. I will get back to Doeg in a moment. But now that he has received food, David makes two other requests. Vayomer David l'Achimelech, ve'ein yesh po tachas yodcho chanis ochorev. Maybe you have here in Nov a spear, a sword. David was without any weapons; he was completely vulnerable. Ki gam charbi v'gam kelai lo lokachti v'yodi. I don't have my sword. I don't have my weapons. The king's mission was very urgent. I had to flee quickly. It's true. He had to flee very quickly. So he left without anything. Maybe you have some weapon I could use. What weapon would they have in the Mishkan? So the only weapon there is the Yad Hashem. And yet they did have something. Vayomer HaKohen, Cherev Goliath HaPlishti Asher Hikiso Be'emek Ha'ilo. We have here the sword of Goliath, whom you smote in the valley of Elah. Behold, this sword is wrapped up in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want to take this, take it. There's none other here except for this. David said, okay, there's none other like it. There's none else here, so I'll take this one. In essence, David made three requests when he came from Nov. Two are explicit, one is implicit. The first is for food, which is clear, which was a necessity. The second was for a sword, which was behind the Navi says, Achareho Ephod, behind the Ephod. The Ephod here is used not just in a literal sense, but of course in its figurative sense. What was the Ephod? The Ephod was the apron that the Kohen Gadol wore, on which rested the Choshen. The Choshen contained the stones which were used to function as the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim, you recall, we discussed, why wouldn't you recall? We discussed in the Sefer Yoshua, that's how they divided the land of Israel. Urim V'Tumim was a device that was used that was a form of nevuah, form of prophecy, in which specific questions were posed, even in a silent voice, inaudibly, and then the lights of the letters that were inscribed on the ephod, the letters of the tribes of Israel, the names of the tribes of Israel, would light up, and the Kohen would read those letters and be able to give an answer to the question that was raised. Usually, most of the time, the questions related to some political matter. Now, the specifics of David's question here is not known, and it's not even known whether Achimelech himself knew the question, because the question did not have to be verbalized. But Achimelech did help David find the answer to the question, and therefore David left. This is what Doeg saw. Now, the sword of Goliath was a testament to the great victory of David over Goliath. You recall when we discussed that story that the sword was taken to the Mishkan for safekeeping. The Malbim says here that ordinarily the custom of warfare is that a warrior will not use the sword with which the previous owner was killed. If he's able to vanquish that person, so he keeps it as a souvenir. But if someone was killed with it, they wouldn't use it. But David's victory, he was through the Torah. David's victory is not a tribute to his own might, as he himself said, but attributable to the Ruach Hashem that was operating through him, the Ruach HaTorah. So therefore, the sword itself did not represent might, but the sword, you'll notice the Navi said, was Lutova Simlo, wrapped up in a cloth by Simlo. The Mishpat Zov says here a very interesting point. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Divrei Torah are called in the Gemara simla, cloth, a cloak, because the pious Jew wraps himself, or herself, in the words of the Torah. So it's like a cloth. The message here is that this was the simon. Goliath's sword was wrapped up in a cloth of Torah. That is to say, it's not might which is going to win Jewish battles, rather it's dedication to Torah, it's fidelity to God's word. Lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach, kim bruchi amar Hashem tzvakos. So that's why the sword itself was placed where it was, and behind the ephod. It wasn't on display, but it was really subservient to what was the true cause of the victory. So you had three things. You had the food, you had the sword, and you had the she'elot to the Urim V'Tumim. Now comes Doeg HaDomi. So the Novi described him as Abir Haroim. If you see number 4, Rashi says he was the chief of the shepherds. The Roa is the teacher of Torah, the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. He was the Abbasid. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. Doeg HaDomi was one of the great figures of the Jewish life at the time. He was probably the greatest Talmud Chacham of the Dor, the greatest scholar, the head of the Sanhedrin, a leading advisor to Shaul, and yet one of the tragic, one of the most despicable, even ignominious figures in all of Tanakh. So bad that the Mishnah says in the beginning of Avos, the Mishnah we're all familiar, beginning of Sanhedrin rather, we read, as we say Avos in the summertime, Sanhedrin Tzadi Amar Aleph. So Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelkom Abba, every Jew is a share in the world to come. So that's what we read, quoting the Pasuk from Yeshayahu. But then the Mishnah lists whole segments, categories of people who have no share in the world to come. One of them is this group, number five. Ve'elu she'ein lem chelkom abo, arbo hedyotos, four people, laymen, commoners. Bilam was one, this is a separate category, because he wasn't even Jewish. But Doeg was the second. So what Doeg did here, he forfeited his share in the world to come. Doeg is always linked to Achitofel, who was an advisor to David HaMelech, and also was one of the heads of the Sanhedrin, and a great Talmud Chacham, who also strayed and became an advisor and supporter to those who would rebel against David, but that will return to. And Gehazi, who was also corrupted as the advisor to Elisha, as the aide de camp to Elisha. So here you have a great Talmud Chacham, you have an Av Beis Din, you have a person who has the king's ear, and he has no share in the world to come. So, Makara, what happened to Doeg HaDomi? Well, the simple pshat is, like Shaul, he not only was a jealous person, Doeg, but he did whatever he could in order to further Shaul's jealousy. And it came from a very early stage. Think back, I think the last year, because we did discuss this Gemara, it's number 7, in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, when Shaul first fell into his depression, after the monarchy was taken away from him, so Vayan Echod Mahan Arim, one of the lads, turned out to be Doeg, as I'll say, Doeg lived to be 34 years old, that's a very short life. So one of the lads said to Shaul, you want someone to assist you, to cheer you up, Yishai has a son. He's Yodea Nagain, Vigibor Chayil, Ish Milchama, Navon Davar, Ishtar Vashem Imo. Tremendous praise. Person who knows how to play the harp. He's a warrior, a great soldier. He's very wise. He's a person of stature, handsome appearance, and God is with him. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Doeg said this entire pasuk only in order to provoke Shaul's jealousy, to speak Lashon Hara. Rashi says he was trying to arouse Shaul's jealousy so he would kill David and be able to take his place. So immediately he saw David as a rival and tried to suppress him. So Chazal darshan the pasuk, Yodea Nagein, he knows how to ask Torah questions. Gibor, he knows how to answer Torah questions. Ish Milchama, Shedeh Elisa Velitim, Mechamta Shol Torah. He's very, very skilled in the battles of Torah. He's a great Talmud Chacham. Mevin Dover Mitoch Dover, Mar Ponim Bahalacha, Vashem Imo, Halacha Kemosa B'chol Makom. He have a great scholar, so he's the one naturally who'll be able to help you through this difficult time. So Bekulu Amar Luhu, you remember we learned this, that Shaul said in response to each description, Yehonasan B'ni Kamo, so Yehonasan's the same way. Kevan Da Amar Leiv Hashem Imo, once Doeg said that God is with him, that's Milsa Dibididei Nami Lohavabe. You can't say that to anybody, that Dashkach was with him. Cholash Daite. Shaul then felt faint. Vikanyobe became jealous of David. Doeg knew exactly what he was doing. So what was the first thing? He painted David as a rival to himself. Second, 8. Zvachim Daf Nundal Amud Beis. A Gemara we also learned. So you recall, when after David was anointed privately by Shmuel, they went to Noyos Baramah. So the Gemara asks, Noyos, it's two separate places. They went to Ramah while Shmuel lived, and they started calculating, delineating where the place of the Mikdash should be. David and Shmuel. Because of this, Doeg became jealous of David, because he saw himself bypassed in the process. Here he was the great Talmud Chacham of Beis Din, greater than David, more worthy of leadership. He should be the consultant to Shmuel. Now, one thing should occur to everybody that, it's hard to imagine great Torah leaders, scholars, succumbing to this. It's rare, but it does happen. Why it happens, we'll have to discuss. Let's see even more. So he's called Doeg HaDomi again because that's where he was from. But Chazal understood it in a deeper sense. Look at number 9, the Medrash Tehillim. V'loma nikra shmo Adomi. Why was he called Adomi? So one answer is that from the ear Nov, from Nov until where he lived, that's where the Adomim live. Hashem yiro nikra. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmoni Omar al Shekine b'David shenikra Admoni. He was called Adomi, the red one, because he was jealous of David, who was called the Admoni. That's how he was described before. Admoni, he was reddish in complexion. So he tried to overcome David, who himself was ruddy. He almost assumed part of David's identity. More. Rav Abba bar Kahana Omar al Shem Shehitir Damno V'Yarkonim. So that's this case here, that he told Shaul to kill the entire city. Rav Nachmani Amar al Shem Shehitir Damo Shel David Shinikrama, because he wanted to kill David, not just, he's Adomi, not just because he wanted to assume his role, but he's Adomi because he wanted David's dam, his blood. Bar Kapar Amar, Bar Kapar said, even more interesting pshat, far reaching. She'osar Damo Shel Agag L'Shaul, L'fichach Nikra Admoni Shinishchayev Al Yodo. Why was he called Adomi? Because Doeg was the one who told Shaul not to kill Agag, that it was Asur. And the Medrash here quotes the reason why you can't kill father and son the same day, etc. But so Doeg really was the one who got Shaul in the predicament to begin with, to tell him that he cannot kill Agag. And now he'll tell him that he should kill or should dispose of Nov. Rabbi Yitzhak Omar, positively, Adomi Shayamadim Pnei Akol Balochom, because he would shame everyone with his knowledge of halacha. Shekol mi shehaya nosei v'nosein v'nosei imo hayi misalka b'tshuvosov. Anybody who raised a question to Doeg, raised an objection to what he said, so Doeg would brush it off. He'd have an answer at the tip of his tongue. He was unfazed. He was totally at home in the entire world of Torah. Finally, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Ma'adom Avli Azchuyosov Shel Yisrael, Kach Doeg Hayim Avli Azchuyosov Shel David. Just like Edom swallows up our Zchuyos, so too Doeg could have exceeded the Zchuyos of David himself. That's how great he was. But even more so, Rabbi Seinu Amru, Ma'adom No Kem V'Noter Belev, Av Doeg No Kem V'Noter David Belev. Just like Edom harbors a grudge against Klal Yisrael in its heart, so too Doeg. Doeg was a multifaceted personality, but he was consumed by one overriding feature, a hatred for David. He could not bear him. Now, this, of course, is a big problem. A big problem, especially when you have someone like this who's in a leadership role, a Torah role. We can't mince words. It's easier for us to deal with Rishayim. We can deal with a Rasha because we understand the typology and how to combat it. It's frightening to have to deal with a Talmud Chacham who's a Rasha because we're not used to that presentation, that personality. It doesn't lend itself to an easy definition nor to manipulation. To have a person who's gifted in Torah and in fact is able to to utilize the Torah to further his rishus, so that's a great, great corruption. I was reading an article today, I think it's in today's Jerusalem Post, by this hater of Torah named Yosef Goel, who writes that with the bitterness that the problem with the Torah world, etc., destroying the country in a usual diatribe, but then he writes that one of the things that are suppressed is the fact that there are more religious Jews in Israel who have become irreligious over the last 30 years than there are Balei Tshuva who've had the reverse route. They're more, so why aren't they given any publicity? Granted, he has a bias, an agenda, but I'm not so sure that he's wrong. He could be right. There are more Jews who are raised with Torah in Israel who've abandoned it than Jews not raised with it who have embraced it. And it's very difficult, as we know, to talk to convince, even to reach out to Jews who were raised religious and then have rejected it. It's a completely different dynamic than dealing with Balei Tshuva, because here they think they've learned, they know, they're familiar, and they have a very deep-seated contempt for it. And that really, that just illustrates the problem of Doeg HaAdomi. You can't tell him that he's wrong, because he justifies everything that he does according to the Torah. And you can't say he's ignorant, because he's the Abbasin, he's the head of the Sanhedrin. He's been elevated to the primary position in the Jewish religious life, really, in professional Jewish life. He's not a Kohen, so he can't serve the Mikdash. But in terms of the governance of the Jewish people, the Halacha, that's really the role of the Sanhedrin and the Melech. That's the role of Sanhedrin. So in fact, Doeg is a very, very difficult foe, and the powers that he wields and those who are in a similar position, Talmidei Chachamim, who are evil people, that power is enormous. Doeg HaAdomi, in the lexicon of Chazal, is the poster boy for Lashon Hara. And he is a symbol of the harm that Lashon Hara can create. So what happens now? What does he do exactly? Let's look at number two. This begins Perek Chof Beis. We're skipping a bit because the story in the Navi, we'll get back to next week. David, in fact, now leaves Nov and goes on running from place to place. But we pick it up in Chaf Beis, Pasuk Tes, where Shaul finds out what happened at Nov. And he's beside himself when he realized that David has gathered an entourage, 400 men, his weapons. So that's real rebellion. So Shaul hears that David and his men have been discovered, and wrong pasuk. Pasuk Tes. So he says to his servants, go out, find him in the fields, in the vineyards, etc. How is it possible that I have this entire army, this entire staff, and no one can tell me where Ben Yishai is? So he suspects everybody of insurrection. Vayand, in that milieu comes the following. Vayand Doeg HaAdomi. Doeg answers, Vahu Nitzav al Avdei Shaul. He's appointed the head of the servants of Shaul. Vayomar, and he says, Ro'isi es Ben Yishai bon Nove el Achimelech ben Achitov. I saw Ben Yishai, they won't say the word David in Shaul's presence anymore, and he went to Nov, to Achimelech the Kohen Gadol. Vayishal lo Bashem, so on his behalf, Achimelech inquired of the Urim V'tumim about something. V'tseida nosan lo, he gave him provisions. V'eischer of Goliath ha-plishti nosan lo, he gave him also the sword of Goliath. Okay. What's the difference between this and what actually happened? It's a big difference. You see, Doeg, who hated David, realizing that Shaul was hysterical, paranoid about David, knew exactly what to say. So he changed the order. Notice he said first that Vayishalo Bashem, the first thing that Achimelech did was inquire the Urim V'Tumim. Now Doeg Paskind, and even though it's not the halacha, in a general sense this was true. The Urim V'Tumim were accessible only to a Melech Yisrael, or an Aves Din could ask questions. Not every Jew could just walk up to the Kohen Gadol and inquire. So what Doeg was saying is, you see, Achimelech accepts David as the king. That's why he gave him access to the Urim V'Tumim. And then he gave him food, and then he gave him a weapon. Implying what? Achimelech is a supporter of the rebellion. Now, in fact, what happened was the exact opposite. Achimelech had no idea that David was even fleeing from Shaul. He gave him food because David was starving. And then, as an afterthought, David said, I have a question for the Urim V'Tumim, as it happened before too. And he had also, he asked for a sword, he asked for a weapon, and Achimelech thought nothing of it, because David was the one who had brought the sword originally. He's the one who slew Goliath. So it wasn't that surprising he would ask for it. Now see what happens. Vayishlach HaMelech Likroas Achimelech Ben Achitub HaKohen Veizkol Beis Aviv HaKonem Asher Benov. The king, using the powers of his majesty, calls Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol, and the entire house of Kohanim, and they all came to the Melech. Vayomer Shaul, Shmano ben Achitov, listen to me, the son of Achitov. He also addresses the Kohen Gadol in a contemptuous way. Vayomer Hineni Adoni, here I am, my master. Vayomer Elov Shaul, Loma Kishartem Alai, why have you conspired against me? Ato Ben Yishai, you and Ben Yishai, it's a leading question. Bisitcholo lechem v'chere v'sholo belokim lokum elayla orev kayamazeh. You gave him bread and a sword, the Urim V'Tumim, so he should be able to ambush me on this day. This is a big shock. Achimelech HaKohen, this is a tremendous shock, because he had no idea about anything. Everything that he did could have been interpreted in an innocent way. Giving food to a starving person, giving a sword to its original owner, inquiring of the Urim V'Tumim on behalf of the Melech, like he always did. Vayan Achimelech es HaMelech. So Achimelech said to the king, Umi v'chol avadecha ki David ne'mon. Notice how naive the words sound, because we know what he doesn't know. Who among your servants is like David? V'chassan HaMelech, he's your own son-in-law. Not that that means anything, but he's your own son-in-law. V'sorel mishmatecho v'nichbad b'veisecho. He obeys everything you tell him. He's honored in your house. Hayom achilosi l'sholo v'elokim. Is this the first day that I inquired for him of the Urim V'Tumim? No, it's happened many times before. Chalilali. Al Yosema Melech Bavdo Davor Bechol Beis Avi. It would be sacrilegious for me to betray the king. Ki lo yodav ducho bechol zoz davor katon o gadol. Your servant knew nothing. Nothing, neither small nor large, about this feud. Doeg HaDomi had already muddied the waters. He had soiled the playing field. So Shaul, who at this time, in the best of circumstances, wasn't clear-headed, that's completely irrational. Vayomer HaMelech, Mos Tomus Achimelech, you will surely die. Atov Chobeis Avicha, you and your entire father's house, meaning all of them, everybody's going to die. Look at 3, we'll get to the end of the story. Vayomer HaMelech L'Doyeg, the king said to Doyeg, skip one pasuk. Vayomer L'Ratzim HaNetzavim Alav, Sobu V'Hamisu Koneh Hashem. He said to his footmen, his aides, go kill all the Kohanim. Kigam Yadamim David, if in Nov they supported David by giving him bread, they're all guilty. They're his supporters. V'chi Yadu Kivoreachu, they knew he had fled. They did not tell me. Now look what happens. They refused. Rashi says here, quoting the Medrash, it was Avner ben Ner, his chief of staff, and Amasa, another important aide, Shaul said, kill all the Kohanim, and they refused. Refused? How could they refuse? They could refuse because Allah is, even the Melech Yisrael has no right to tell you to violate the Torah. And they held that what Shaul was asking for here was patently illegal. So they refused. Yomer HaMelech L'Doyeg. So now the king turns to Doeg and says, Sovato Ufgaba Kohanim. You turn, and you kill the Kohanim. And Doeg does not need even a second request. Vayisov Doeg HaDomi. And Doeg turns. Vayifgahu Bakohanim. And he himself kills the Kohanim. Vayomas Vayomahu Shmonim Chamisho Ish No Seifot Bad. He killed 85 men who wore the linen of the kahuna. And even more, Vayisnov Ira Kohanim Mikolofi Cherev. He freelances a bit. He kills the entire city. Meishvad Isha. Every man and woman. Me'alel Vad Yonek. Even the children, Vishor, even infants, Vishor v'chamor v'selofichorev, and all the cattle as well. Doeg is told by Shaul to kill. He kills with a vengeance, even, it's hard to say these words, with some glee, satisfaction, eagerness, exterminates the whole city. Adavurcha, we're talking not only no virakonim, we're talking about the place of the Mishkan. So this is the end of Nov. Nov housed the Mishkan for just a few decades, but this end of the Mishkan in Nov, they had to retrieve the Kalim of the Mishkan and take it to Givon, and that's where the Mishkan would be after this incident until the Beis HaMikdash is built. So essentially wiped out the entire Avodas that took place in Nov. There was one survivor of Achimelech. No, it could have eliminated the whole kahuna. Brian, could have been curtains. Could have the whole kahuna. What's that? That's right. Achimelech has one surviving son, Evyasar, which literally means the one left over. Evyasar, we'll get back to many times, becomes a top aide to David. David, he chases after David and he says to David, Kirak Shul's Kone Hashem, and David realized that Shul really is far gone. He killed all the Kohanim. Vayomer David love Yasu Yadati Bayomahu Kisham Doeg Adomi Ki Haged Yagid L'Shul. He said, I should have known that day that Doeg was there. I should have anticipated what would happen. Anochi Sabosi B'chol Nefesh Beisovicha. I am responsible, David says, for everything that happened to your father's house. And he pledges now to take care of Evyasar, protect him, etc. So, it's a big shock. It's a big shock. Torah corruption, as we know, is one of the hardest forces that we have to deal with. If you think back to when we discussed the B'nai Eli, and we spoke at length about it, it should cause us to tremble. The Torah is Darchei Noam, it's Shalom, it's Tzidkus, it's Emes, and when it's utilized for nefarious purposes, it undermines the entire divine system, the entire divine order. It's as if the world is now Tohu Vavohu. And so a person who produces this, whose soul is so devoid of any ethical sensitivity, that soul is incapable of existing in the next world. And so Doeg HaDomi has no chelak olam haba. In fact, this is the ultimate corruption that can exist. The corruption of Torah for the worst ends. Now, let's look at number 10. Eventually, later on, Doeg is killed later on, but the Medrash records the confrontation of David HaMelech and Doeg. The entire Perek Tehillim, by the way, that's devoted to this incident. It's Tehillim Nun Beis Lamatzeach Maskila David Bivot Doeg Hadomi V'Agelis Shaul V'Yomer Lo Bo David Al Beis Achimelech. By way of introduction, when Doeg came and told Shaul that the house of Achimelech, no, they helped David. Matis Halel Biro Hagibor. Why does the Gibor, the warrior, glorify in evil? Chesed El Kol Hayom, the kindness of God the entire day. So now the Medrash in Tehillim says as follows: Matis Halel Bor Gibor, Omar David Ladoeg, Atagibor Vashir Verosh the Sanhedrin. You're a warrior. You're wealthy. You're head of the Sanhedrin. Meaning, what do people want? Even people afflicted with the Yetzirah, they want wealth and power. You have that. You have that already. Yisaseg barazos. You're going to get involved in this evil. V'omer lashon hara, you'll speak lashon hara. Bira hagibor. Omar lo. So David continued. V'chima gvurahi. What type of power, strength, greatness is this? If a person sees his friend al pi abor, at the edge of a pit, and he pushes him in, or he sees his friend on a roof and pushes him off. So gvurahi, elaimosai nikra gibor. What's the gibor? It's a kovish yisro. The gibor is when a person sees his friend about to fall, and he grabs him so he shouldn't fall. That's gvura. Vatora isa shol kaleisalai. You saw, you knew Shaul was angry at me. Vafata italta maimale for us. You made it worse. You exacerbated it. Chesed El Kol Hayom, the kindness of God the entire day. That's you're involved in Chesed Kel. It's Torah, Divrei Torah. Yaso Gedvarm Halolus, you get involved in his base, Lashon Hara. Vatase Toroscha Plaster, you made your Torah Plaster. Plaster is what it sounds like. Plaster, phony, artificial, insubstantial, hollow, meaning all forms, hypocritical. That is very, very difficult for us to bear. Turn the page, look at number 11. In fact, I even cited, before you do that, in 6, you'll notice in the text of 3, Vayomer Melech LeDoeg, he's called Doeg with a Yud, not Doeg with an Aleph, it's a Kri and a Ksiv. So Rashi quotes the Gemara, Nishtana Shmo, his name was changed. Omar lo, Shaul said to him, Nitfasta kadog, I caught you like a fish. Ato hil shalt alehem, you were the one who slandered Nov, ato harog osam, you're going to be the one who killed him also. You're the witness and the executioner. Now the Gemara says Sanhedrin, kuvavam edbez, ksiv doeg, uksiv doeg, Omar b'yochanan, b'tchilo yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'doeg shemo, Yotzo Zilatar Basra. At first, God is worried. God, of course, knows our natures. He's worried what's going to be with this Doeg, head of the Sanhedrin, Terbuchil Hashem. Lachar Sheyot, that's Doeg, Dalad Vav Aleph Gimel. Once he goes out and does what he does, Omar, Ve, Yotzo Ze, Oy Ve, Doeg, Dalad Vav Yud Gimel. Vav Yud is Ve. Woe is such a person. Omar Vyitzvah. God says to the Rasha, why are you involved in my statutes? What are you doing studying the Torah? When you come to the laws of the murderer, when you come to the laws of Mesapre Lashon Hara, are you going to darshan it? You can't darshan it. We don't have such a concept, hopefully, that people preach on something which they violate in their own lives, like Elmer Gantry, Lavdom. We don't have that. It can't exist, that type of hypocrisy in the world of Torah. Shouldn't exist. Omer Rabbi Ami, Ein Torah Shel Doeg, Ela Misafo V'Lachutz. The whole Torah of Doeg was external, from his lips outward. That, of course, is always the bane of serious, committed, religious Jews, the religious society, misafa velachutz, the external forms, because there's no doubt the Torah, the Divrei Torah, is a simla, it is a cloak. We wrap ourselves in halacha, in the words of Torah. But sometimes it's very easy just to wrap ourselves in that cloak, and it doesn't penetrate. It's not really part of our personalities. There's nothing internal. We all know there are people who can mutter words of tefillah and then just go talk. People give tzedakah and they could steal. People have a very warm public persona and they're abusive at home. So there are things that can be done externally, like a cloak that's taken on and off. And then a person looks like he's a part of our world. But in substance, he's bereft of anything which links him to the real world of Torah. That was Doeg HaDomi. And just like, we'll see others too, but just like the B'nai Eli, when such a thing happens, disaster always follows. Because those people, while they are in their prime, are almost unstoppable. Because we don't have a mechanism to deal with it. Torah is supposed to be the ultimate corrective. So when someone embraces the Torah and distorts it, there's nothing you could do. In fact, Chazal say the same thing about Esav. The simple pshat that Rashi says, Kitzayit Befiv, Esav was able to deceive his father. Because, yeah, he's a little rambunctious, but he asked the right questions. Yeah, do I take miser from salt, etc.? Do I take miser from straw? Savur, ayah Yitzchak, Rashi says. Yitzchak assumed, oh, he's a great tzaddik. He's very pious, very meticulous about halacha. So those things are very easy to mimic, very easy to pretend. What happened to him in the end? Rabbi Ami, continuing in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Lomes Doeg Acha Shochach Talmudo. Doeg, before he died, he forgot all his learning. Rav Amar Nitzdarea, he got Saras. We'll define all of these. But Omar of Yochanan, Shlosho Malachei Chabalon Nizdan L'Doeg, he had three destroying angels. One caused him to forget his learning. One destroyed his soul. And one scattered his ashes in every shul, in every beis medrash. It's a beautiful chazal. It means, first of all, shachach tamudo, to destroy the consumer. It cannot endure. Furthermore, nitzdareya. What's saras? The person is put outside the camp. Such a person becomes alienated from God, and in fact from society as well. And finally, what attracted your attention, Pizer Aforo Bevote Midrashos and Bevote Kinesios, that these ashes are scattered in all the shuls and all the Bate Medrash. What does that mean? It's in the air. It hovers in the Beis Medrash, it hovers in the shul, as a warning to Talmidei Chachamim, as a warning to Mispalalim, that there is such a concept, there is such a typology as a Doeg HaDomi. Just because a person learns, and just because a person davens, and just because a person does mitzvahs, it could all be a front. It could all be a show. And what's inside is not only empty, but corroded. And therefore, we should all take note. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yira Leleva, God sees what's inside. We can't. And therefore, always beware that in the atmosphere of every shul and beis medrash, you have the ashes of Doeg HaDomi. I want to make one point, which you see is especially insidious, because Doeg represents, as Chazal saw it, the perpetrator of Lashon Hara and the ultimate danger of Lashon Hara. Look at number 18, the Mishpat Zov. He says, Od Kosef HaChavetz Chaim, quotes in the Sefer HaChavetz Chaim, written by the Chavetz Chaim before he had the name Chavetz Chaim. Quotes the Kesef Mishnah, Shalomad Mikan Shaaf Shemisaper Dovar Shilu Hayasholon Esmisha Sibroalov Gam Hayamisaper Zos. You see from here that if a person tells, let's say A tells B something about C, that even if B would have asked C, C would have told B anyway, it's still Lashon Hara. Alright? And that's what happened here. If Shaul had asked Achimelech, did you do A, B, and C? Achimelech would have said yes, because he had no idea that he did anything wrong. Nevertheless, you see, that itself is Lashon Hara, because A knows he's saying it in a way which is going to elicit a hostile reaction, even if the facts are the same. Notice, Doeg did not distort even one fact. And we know Lashon Hara is not a lie. Lashon Hara is the truth. Doeg Hardomi did not distort even one fact, did not deviate from what happened, except in the order, which he's not makpid on the order. But he said exactly what Achimelech did, and he let the consequences be what they were. Last line. Mikomakom, Kevan Shayoda Doeg, Sheitzel Shol Yisparish Adavar Lara. Since Doeg knew that Shaul would interpret this negatively, pejoratively against David, Nechshav Hadavar Kiloshen Harachilus. That's why it's considered slander, and that's why it's so harmful. Hey, what else happens? Well, why does this happen? So Medrash Tilma has a beautiful explanation of it. Number 14. Kuf Yud Tes. Lema Hayu Dom and Doeg v'Achitofel. To what can they be compared? Doeg and Achitofel. Again, we'll get back to this story another time. It's later on. To a house that's filled with straw. The straw's coming out. And then the balabai starts plastering all over. But the straw's sticking out of the walls. The holes are filled with straw. Once the cement, the mortar, starts to recede, then the straw starts falling out as well. He says that's what happens here. It all these people, it was so makpid on every word of the Torah, every prat of the halacha. And in fact, I recall the Gemara Yavamos puts it in the statement of Doeg Hadomi when they were debating in the Sanhedrin whether David is fit to be the king. Doeg said, before we ask whether he's fit to be the king, we should ask whether he's Jewish altogether, whether he's fit lavo l'kol, because Doeg did not darshan Moavi velo Moavis. He held even the descent of a female Moabite was not cannot enter the Jewish people. That was Doeg Hadomi. Yes. Okay, so you see that at the beginning of Perek Dalet in Rus, they convened the Sanhedrin, the Beis Din, to. It was halacha mosh misinai, ma'aviv lo ma'avis, but it had been forgotten, and Boaz himself was the one who confirmed ma'aviv lo ma'avis. He confirmed it. So therefore, that was the masorah they had. He disagreed. Why did he disagree? Mistame, he disagreed, you know, because he didn't like the psak. All right, so he marshaled all the arguments, but that was part of his corruption. You know, he knew how to argue in the Milchamta Shel Torah. But he didn't want that to be the psak. He wanted to isolate and ostracize David. So too, a person who learns Torah, fills himself with Torah, and yet his heart is empty, it's filled with nonsense and rebellion, etc., their Torah becomes sheker remius. It becomes lies and falsehood. That's a big problem. It's a big problem to which there's no solution. When a corrupt person learns Torah, bad things happen. We say, Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem. So hopefully you have a person who has a modicum of Yiras Shemayim before they start to learn Torah. If a person does not have Yiras Shemayim when they start to learn Torah, then essentially they're not a worthy receptacle of Divrei Torah. It's not a good kli. So it's not that the person is corrupted by the Torah, God forbid. Nor can we hope, in every case, that the Torah itself, the Divrei Torah, are going to take a person who's corrupt and straighten them out. That's not necessarily so. But if a person is an improper receptacle for Torah, then that learning becomes distorted when it enters the corrupt person and makes it even worse. Talmud Torah, and this is a general rule, Talmud Torah is not going to straighten out anybody who's crooked. You have to have a certain yashrus when you start learning. And then the Torah keeps you a yashar. What defines the person as a worthy receptacle? Mitzvos, Maisim Tovim, Midos Tovos, all those things, Derech Eretz, all those things make a person into a good kli. If you're a good kli, then the words of Torah can work their magic. If you're not a good kli, then you're like Doeg. And once there's any breach in the walls of that building, so the straw starts to pull out, and your Torah is very porous, and you're susceptible to the most heinous type of violations of Torah, as Doeg was. I mentioned at the beginning, yes?
Isn't it often thought that even if somebody is not a proper player, doesn't have the right kind of mind, hope when they learn Torah, that will straighten about or whatever.
Right, you hope, but it's not always so. You see, it's a big problem. Depends the nature of the corruption. All right, we're talking here about a person who has, there's no Yiras Hashem. All right, there's no Yiras Shemayim, his bad midos, is arrogant, etc. So the words can't penetrate. He could adopt the veneer, the shell of the Torah personality, but it's not going to penetrate. Sometimes it's worse than that. That the Torah can exacerbate those bad midos because it plays into certain emotional distortions that he has already. So Torah is not necessarily going to be a cure for someone who is already sick. The person has to have a little health. And so the Gemara says that ideally, it's the Gemara in Brachos, that Rambam Gamliel said, they don't want to let anyone into the Beis Medrash, Shein Tocho Kabaro, whose inside is not the same as his outside. Of course, they couldn't find a million of people like that. So he let everybody in. So that's the reality. But there's no doubt that that's what you find. The greatest yeshivos in the world, historically down to our day, will always produce a number of people who are not, not Tamid Chachamim, but they become outright terrible people. And you wonder, how did such a person go to Volozhin? How did such a person go to Lakewood, go to Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, etc.? How did they go to Panovich? How did it happen? It happens, because there weren't a good kli coming in. There weren't a good kli. So as long as it's masked, it's masked. But then ultimately, if the person does not work on himself and realize what the corruption is, it does become unmasked. Yes?
Doesn't the other top of the DM or the top learners of the day see through this, not make them off?
Didn't they see through it?
Yeah,
it's a very good question. We don't know, but it's the type thing, and this is true again even today, until you find that moment where all the internal corruption crystallizes, it's not apparent to anyone. Until this time, Doeg was Doeg the Abbasin. So he may have harbored all these tendencies and all these inclinations, but it was never expressed before. The very moment when it was expressed was the moment of his destruction. And then we trace back all the other things, the Gemara says. Jealous of David here, of David there, giving Shaul bad advice before. Adomi, you trace back. But we're looking at it from the perspective of history. It happened many years ago. Those who lived through it, so they didn't wake up in the morning and say, Doeg, I think this is the day that your world will collapse. No, he was the Abbasin. Nice beard, nice kapoto.
Yeah.
Who knew when he woke up in the morning that day he would kill an entire city of people? Men, women, and children. Who would have thought such a thing? So it's not as if it was a steady progression of corruption. It was a sudden act. But it's those sudden acts that reveal what's inside. Just reading the other day, one of the Bali Musar said, nobody just, and it's an extreme case, but nobody just kills. Nobody just wakes up one day and kills someone. You have to be harboring those tendencies for a long time. And then at the moment where opportunity and motive will merge, that's when you're going to act. But the problem is not that you acted suddenly. but you had these tendencies lingering for all those years. That was Doeg HaDomi. Probably after that, the other terrible aspects of the story is that nobody comes out looking good. First, and you see Chazal had such a penetrating, probing eye into the human personality. Look at number 12. What started the story? David went to Nov. Why did he go to Nov? He needed some food, right? What's the very first pasuk? We read number 1. Vayokam vayelach v'yonasan bo ha'ir. Look at number 12 now. It's the Gemara Sanhedrin. Kuvdal amar aleph. V'shigaso lezadon. Sometimes something unintentional begets intentional crimes. Tamar Yudah Marav, Il Molei Hilveu Yehonasan LeDavid Shtei Kikaros Lechem. If only Yonasan had not just said goodbye to David in that first pasuk, but had given him a couple of sandwiches, all right, a loaf of bread. You know, he hadn't eaten in 3 days. Give him something to eat. Wasn't a Jewish mother. Give him something to eat. If Yonasan had only given David a little something to eat, Lo nehargo Nov yarkonim, Nov, the city wouldn't have been destroyed. Lo nitrat Doeg hadomi, Doeg would not have fallen apart as he did. Vonerak shol shoshes banov, Shol and his 3 sons would not have been killed because it was a punishment for this. Yonasan didn't give provisions. You see, a Chazal look at the world. Sometimes a small, unintentional error. You just overlook something. You don't even think of it at the time. And then from that spirals terrible yisurin that you just trace back. If only I had done this, the great if of history. If only I had done one small thing differently, everything would have changed. Who else is to blame? So of course, you can't excuse Shaul. I mean, he's beyond the pale here. So the Gemara says in Yom Odaf Chafbezim Adbez, Gemara we also did, number 13, Shaul is told to go, Lech Vikisos Amalek, go kill the Amalekites. So he has his whole Kalvachomer, Ma Nefesh Achas Amrato, Torah said, if you kill one person, you need Eidim, you need Bastin, etc. So how am I going to kill an entire people? Yotza Basko Vomrlo, Posekin Kohelas, Al Titzadik Harbe, don't be so righteous. Listen to what God says. Uvishosha Omar Lo Shol Doeg Sovatov Gabakonim. When Shol turned to Doeg and said, go kill all the Kohanim, Yotza Basko Vomrolo, the end of the pasuk. Al Titzadik Harbe, Al Tishahabe. Don't be such a Russia either. Meaning Shol now, what is he? Something he always was, but now it's reached a desperate, really unspeakable ends. Legalistic, overly legalistic, cruel, impulsive. Whereas with Amalek, he accessed reservoirs of compassion, which was misplaced. Now whatever compassion he has completely gone, and he goes overboard the other way. Shaul here really hits rock bottom, because now his vengeance, his paranoia, is not only against David, but against the entire society, especially the cream of the society, the Kohanim. And maybe most surprising of all to us, who else comes in for blame? David, right. Number 15, in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadihei Med Aleph, the Pasuk in Yeshayo, Od Hayom Benov Lamod, which we read as the Haftorah on Achron Shel Pesach, that the day is still yet to come, and Nov stands. What's Nov to Yeshayo? Omer Avuno, Oso Hayom Nishtayer Me'avono Shel Nov. That day still remains, still being collected from the sin of what happened to the city of Nov. What are we talking about? So Rashi says in 16, "Dimipnei avon shoyelam liYisrael al shenergu kohen Nov, kava kadosh baruch hu hu haone shados hayom." Because of a great crime against the city of Nov, God waited to exact punishment against the Jewish people. Vosa hayom bilvad nishtar mizman onesh. Only one day was left, And in fact, it goes on to say, the day of the war of Yerushalayim, the day when Sancheirav came to attack Yerushalayim. In other words, if such a thing could happen, even though it involved a small group, Shaul and Doeg, which is a small group, if such a thing could happen in Klal Yisrael, it means that there's a corruption in the entire society. And therefore, Yerushalayim, which would become the Mikdash, so that itself could not endure. When Nov is destroyed, so we lose a lot of the collective righteousness and zchuyos of Klal Yisrael in terms of our Avodas Hashem, of our appreciation of Mikdash, of Kahuna, of the holy institutions of Jewish life. And eventually there's a price to be paid. So we all suffer, and David too. So Sanhedrin Sadihem and Aleph, continuing number 17. Omar Rav Yudah Marav Ishba. So it's called the Yishbi Benov. So who's Yishbi Benov? Ishba Liskei Nov. Someone came because of Nov. Omar Alei Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. God said to David, Ad Masai Yavon Zeh Tamun BiYadecha. For how long is this sin going to be hidden? Going to be hidden by you? Strong words. Al Yadcha Nerga Nov Yerakon. It's because of you Nov was killed. Al Yadcha Nitra Doeg Adomi. Because of you, Doeg went off the deep end. Aval Yadcha Nergu Shaul Shloshes Bonov. Because if you, David Shaul was killed. Dov, what did he do? So God says, Ritzoncha Yichu Zarecha Otimaser Biaroyev. What would you rather have? Your descendants would be killed, or you'll be given over to the enemy? So Gemara continues. David said, give me over to the enemy. He was rescued, etc. David, how is David to blame? We're blaming the victim. What did David do wrong here? But you see, he didn't tell the truth in the beginning. It's true. Why didn't he tell the truth? It's what we call today plausible deniability. So he wanted to give Achimelech the ability to say to Shaul, I don't know what you're talking about. He came for food. Because what David did wrong is technically he only needed food. If all he had asked for was food, Chazal say, so Doeg would have nothing to say. Because a hungry man has given food. Well, what's wrong with that? But once he asked for the Urim V'Tumim, and especially once he asked for a weapon, then he's putting Achimelech in a compromising position. See, even unintentionally, David is liable. There's indirect causation. It's really because of him. So you say he's not the primary cause. He certainly didn't intend to be the cause at all. Nevertheless, we maintain Megalgulin Zchus Ayde Zakai V'chova Ayde Chayev. If a person is the cause, even unintentionally, of something bad happening to someone else, so in fact he may be just the vehicle. Nevertheless, it speaks ill of him, because God used him as an instrument to harm other people. So in fact, you have in this case, everybody looks bad. It's indefensible. What happened to Nov, what David did, what Shaul did. You say, what about Achimelech? What did he do wrong? The Chazal say he also sinned. Maybe not in this case, but he was also Roy Lemisa. Yehonasan, certainly Doeg. If you look at number 19, a very interesting Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Beis. Pasuk says, Ein Peretz Vein Yotzeis Vein Svacha Birchov Oseinu. There's no, it's talking about Talmud Torah, there's where we pray, entering the Beis Medrash, there be no breach, no going out, no crying in our streets. The danger, the roster of those great people who've strayed is stunning. So the Gemara phrase it here for us to see. Ein Peretz, a person prays entering the Beis Medrash, Shlo Teisi Oseinu Kisiyaso Shel David, Shias Min Achitofel. Our group should not have in its number someone like Achitofel. Our group here, there should be no Achitofel. Ein Yotzeis, there should be no one in our group like in Shaul's group. Shatsun Menu Doeg Hadomi. Ein Svacha, no screaming. We shouldn't have in our group someone like Elisha had. Gechazi. Achitofel, Doeg, Gechazi. Great Talmidei Chachamim. who became corrupt people, who destroyed lives and brought ruin upon themselves and their society. And fourth, the most interesting, because it was censored, B'chavoseinu, Shlo Yelonu Ben O Talmud Shemadiach Tashil Barabim, should be anyone who burns the dish in public. Let's burn the dish, meaning ruins the Torah for everybody. And you see the censor took out Kigon Yeshua Notzri, like Jesus of Nazareth. Another person, another Jew strayed and created tremendous harm as a result of that. Again, that is a grave danger, and we know we all suffer from it. The greater expectations are placed on the people of Torah. Sometimes it's unfair, but usually that's the way it should be. It's the way it's supposed to be, because more is expected of us. There is no other way to look at it. This is a stain on Klal Yisrael. You see from the Gemara Sanhedrin we quoted, it's a type of incident that really there's no recompense for. There's no easy atonement. We suffer from it. Much like at a much later time in history, when Zechariah HaNavi and the Kohen Gadol killed in the Beis HaMikdash, towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, Im Yehareg B'Mikdash Hashem Kohen V'Navi. So there's no way to atone for that either. David here is guilty, accepts the guilt. In fact, he says that Anochi Sabosi B'chol Nefesh Beis Avicha, I'm responsible for every life in your father's house. So what David does as a way of some kapara is he says to Evyasar, I will protect you. And Evyasar really joins the household of David and he does protect him. What's happening here? As tragic as it is, these are all necessary steps to build a Malchus based David. Rav Ariel writes something that we all know. The Geula only comes when we are in the most desperate situations. That's what we are here now. Malchus Yisrael is going to arise from this utter collapse. As we leave David now, he's basically fleeing from cave to cave. He's trying to stay away from Shaul. Shaul himself is out of control. Jewish national life is really teetering on the brink of collapse. There's no government, there's no order, there's no avoda, the Kohanim are gone. There's no leadership to turn to. Malchus is corrupt, Sanhedrin is corrupt, the Mishkan is corrupt. There's really nothing. What else is there? What else is there? There's nothing. And the putative successor, David, he's on the run. No different than before we went down to Egypt. Yosef is sold, the brothers disperse, Yehuda runs away and finds himself with a prostitute. From that comes Gulas Yisrael. From that comes David and the Melech HaMashiach. Just like in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael at the depths, at the lowest point, Mem Tesh Sharei Tumo, breaking under the yoke of the Egyptians. That's when the process of Gulas starts. And so too, we pray the same thing now. Klal Yisrael before Bias HaMashiach also. We reach a stage of complete vulnerability, helplessness, world closing in around us, encircling us with nowhere else to go, with no one to whom we can turn. That's the situation that's before us. Right now, the Jewish national life is at a very low ebb. Next week, the tide turns, and you have that fateful confrontation between David and Shaul, and that's when they both become aware that Malchus Yisrael will change hands, and the destiny of Israel will march forward. That's next week. Thank you very much. Yes? Why didn't David go back to Beit Lechem? It's the first place they look for. The very first place to look for.
Grab and run. I think you're getting to grab and run.
Right. I could see you'd never been a fugitive. That's the worst place to go. Worst place where they'll look for you first. Home. You have to go on the road. Okay, thank you.